Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Howard, this is Donna Sebo, and we are traveling overseas to talk with a gentleman, Brian Allen, about a movie that has been put out called Ancient Code. And it's an intriguing movie on more than one level, and you might find it of interest yourself. So we'll be giving you later on in the interview the website that you can go to find out more about it. Brian, where are we calling to reach you? I know it's overseas. It's late at night. Where are you, in England?
No, I'm actually in Scotland. I'm in a little village called Kincardine, which is just on the north bank of the River Forth, and that's where I am, sitting here in Scotland.
Well, I'm so grateful that you are taking time out of an evening that's a rather late one over there. What is it, about 11 o'clock?
It's 11 o'clock, but I'm not quite pleased that it's really early, because mostly when I do these shows to the States, it's 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm doing them.
Okay, we got lucky with this one.
Yeah.
The movie, The Ancient Code, before we went on air, you were telling me how Philip Gardner is the man that basically put this movie together. And I have lots of materials that are sent to me, and I was intrigued with much of the visual that was used in this movie. There were photographs of ancient sites, of old places, churches, some beautiful shots of nature. And the movie starts off at Bishop Mountain. Why did Philip choose that as a place? What's so significant about Bishop Mountain?
Are you sure it's actually called Bishop's Mountain? Are we talking about the horn dance here at Aber Bromley, or are we talking about something else?
Well, maybe I misunderstood, but it was right at the first part of the movie, and he mentioned something about the Wickerman, and it was a town. He opened the
That's
movie.
Right. I can explain this to you. What this is, it's well, maybe your listener should understand that the film is actually about Phil's take on what's going to come on 2012, that we know there's a change coming, and this film, The Ancient Code, tries to set out what it actually is. And what he tries to do in it is he takes this particular event that happens once a year in a village in England, and it's called the Horn Dance, and the village itself is actually famed for it. Now, the Horn Dance itself is a traditional dance. Well, you could call it a dance, you could call it a ritual, you could call it a rite, I suppose. And it's highly likely that the people who now carry out this dance ritual don't fully understand what they're actually doing and the significance of what they're doing, because the dance itself dates back to the 12th century. So this has been going for 800 years now. It's called the Horn Dance because they do it using sets of antlers, deer's antlers, and these antlers have been carved and dated back to the 11th century. So this has been around for a long, long time. But what the dance actually is it's a celebration of fertility. It's a reconnection of people with the earth. It's a reconnection of people with nature, and as I say, it's about fertility. But the people who actually carry out the dance don't really understand what they're doing. I think this has been forgotten in the mists of time, and the very few people who do understand what it's about tend to get very defensive about it if they're asked about it, and they're trying to drive you away than try and explain it to you. But it's only through Philip's insight into what it was all about that the film got made in the first place, because how this came about originally was Philip was actually filming in Australia, and he came face to face with a kangaroo, And it was just a sort of, I think at this time he experienced some sort of epiphany, some sort of spiritual awakening in himself that made him suddenly realize just how everything is, if you like, it's simpatico, it's synonymous with the planet itself.
Mm-hmm.
And this woke him up to what was actually happening round about him. And it's not so much Gaia. This is not Lovelock and his Gaia hypothesis. It's much more it's more intimate than that, if you like. It's man's place and his connection to the planet and how this is all tied into 2012 and what's going to happen when that arrives.
Now, the film has sections through it. You have the section on reclaiming the self, truth from within, quest for the inner grail, what is the grail, the frequency of nature, and are we ready? And there are various opinions that are shared. And again, one of the things that I was really impressed with was some of the photography and the filming of some very, very beautiful as well as old locations. And let's talk a minute about reclaiming the self, because he has expressed in this film a concern about people not really thinking for themselves. And I'm sure there's a lot of people you've come in contact with where they think things are just moving at such a pace that it's like there is a compression, an intensity of time where things seem to be speeding up, just excessively so. Reclaiming the self, in that section of the film, what do you think Philip really wanted to convey with that? I think what he's done is good, but when he was putting this all together, and you say it's about 2012, what really, reclaiming the self, what was that all about?
Okay. Well, really, I can explain this, but we'd have to explain it in the context of what the ancient code actually means and what it is. But in the terms of reclaiming the self, it's basically how can people help themselves today, and what they're going to have to do, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's not going to be pretty many times. It's not going to be easy for them. But what they're going to have to do is to cast off their gods, whether it be the church, the state, or something that's Hollywood-inspired, and find themselves. Because for too many years now, people have become lazy. They've lost their natural desire to question. They've lost their natural desire to find out for themselves. And they've developed a cult of celebrity. And I think this is a prime example of what has actually gone wrong with society today. That people tend to assume that celebrities have intelligence and are trendsetters, and they're utterly wrong. Because many of these so-called celebrities are too self-obsessed, isolated, cynical, greedy and shallow, and are frequently too stupid to know what the truth actually is. And people have got into the position where they assume that position, privilege and wealth equates with knowledge, and it just doesn't. Because money for its own sake only creates jealousy, greed and envy. And it's only when the freedom from outside is cast off that they will actually cut these things adrift and actually see the world for what it is and it's all its beauty, that we can actually sort of get to grips with nature once again. Because really, what the Holy Grail is, that as far as Philip sees it, the Holy Grail is nature. The Holy Grail is reconnecting with the planet. Now, I know this sounds like some sort of green agenda that I'm talking about, but it isn't really. It's much more profound. It's much more important than that. Because what it is the actual savior. It's the human race, if you like, saving itself and in the process saving the planet. So I guess you could say that's what Philip was trying to do.
There are so many references to very, very old societies. And I want to share with you, I was reviewing other material. I review about 400 to 600 pieces of material a year. Books, and you're not alone in your perception. When this movie was done, I don't know the year it was done, but when this was done and when I received it this year, I found that there were so many common correlations between the items that are stated in this film as well as materials that I have received. And history is quite fascinating. And we don't delve into it all that often. But I know, Brian, you and Philip and all of the other associates that helped to work on this, which includes Dr. Tim Wallace, Murphy, the Professor Hugh Montgomery, Steve Mitchell, Nick Ashron, Nick Pope, Johnny Paul. There's just so many different individuals that really wanted to be involved with this and participated in this film. And we stand on the shoulders of the people that have gone before us. There is so much that has been mentioned in this movie about things that go way, way, way back. And as you mentioned in the beginning, how they've been forgotten. When we're looking at a lot of myths and stories, how can someone really break through the myth to get to the essence?
Well, what you're actually talking about, in many cases, are Gnostic revelations, because most of the truths that we accept today as being matter of fact and just things that we take for granted are truths that have been served up to us. They've actually changed from their original format. And there's no greater example, can I say, that than religion. Because if you take from a Western point of view, you've got obviously Judaism and you've got Christianity. And in terms of Christianity, what we are accepting now as truth is not necessarily truth. It's what we're told is true. Because when you start looking back, and I've no doubt you'll have come across this before because you've been on this stage for a long, long time, is that when you look at Christ himself, you start going back to people like, Mithras, you look at Tammuz, you look at Horus, you look at Krishna even, because there are many, many more. Because all these people were born as virgins, they worked miracles, they had followers, and they were crucified. And you tend to find that Jesus was only the very last in a long, long line of people that came before him. And it seemed as though the Jesus version, it stayed and it lasted, and it became Christianity. But really, I think you could safely say that modern religion, in terms of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, for that matter, are far too new, they're far too young, because, I mean, Islam is about 1,500 years old, Christianity is around 2,000 years old, and Judaism is about 3,000 years old. So in the terms of the development of the planet, they're only just dropped in, just a few minutes old. I mean, the planet itself is billions of years old. So people have inhabited this planet for billions of years, and their belief systems were founded in what they could see and how they interacted with the planet. So I think you could safely say that the people who had the best idea of how the planet functioned would be the shamans, would be the animists, and people who actually worshipped nature as they saw it. Because I think that's where the initial truth lies. And I think that these truths have become, changed, altered, enshrined, and adapted by modern religions. But even in modern religion, you still find essences of these original belief systems. They're still here, they're still with us, and they still surround us. The only thing is we just interpret them slightly differently now.
That's true. Sound and rhythm were brought up in this movie, and again, there's a number of different sections within it. The Frequency of Nature is the title of, I'll call it the chapter that's in the movie, Rhythm and Sound, and there was a fascinating picture, a couple of pictures of a house that was built around a rock, and this, maybe it's called a boulder. I mean, it's massive. It's absolutely massive. Do you know where that was?
Not offhand. Obviously, I wasn't actually privy to the actual technicalities of making the film. I mean, there's the contribution I made to the film, but I don't actually know where that particular that house is. But what I can tell you is that while I was making the film, Phil and I also made another project, which was called the Roslyn Frequency. And in that, I've been able to discover that Roslyn Chapel, which is close to Edinburgh, I suppose you've heard of Roslyn Chapel?
Yes, I have.
Yes, okay. Well, I found out, and it's also the subject of another film that Phil made, and it's called The Roslin Frequency, that I found that there is a frequency that chapel will respond to. I've recreated that frequency in the chapel, and what we did was we opened the doorway in the chapel, a form of portal that I found about in 1990. I first discovered the portal in 1998, but we didn't actually know. We couldn't figure out how to make it operate properly. And in 2005, by that time, I'd actually discovered what the resonant frequency of the chapel was. And we went in there out of hours. We got permission to do it because we suspected there was a portal in the chapel. And we recreated the frequency that the chapel responds to. It's actually a musical interval called an augmented fourth. It says C sharp, F, and G, and are the notes. And they obviously correspond to specific frequencies. And when put together, they create the resonant frequency of the chapel. And the chapel, sonically, the chapel lights up. And in the northeast corner of the chapel, there is, I firmly believe, a portal that can be opened, and we actually opened that portal in 2005. So as far as the resonant frequency go, yeah, the Earth has a resonant frequency, and also Roslin Chapel has a resonant frequency. So you can say that in a microcosm that the Earth frequency is in Roslin Chapel.
Now, what happened when you opened that portal? What were you able to register certain effects on? Equipment was there? What was special about opening that portal? Why was it important to even know that it was there? Did it make a difference with your exploring it?
Yes, it did. What we discovered was that we only had 1 hour of time to actually carry out this experiment because we were allowed in special before the place was open to the public. And we knew, I had over, since 1998, I had discovered what the function of certain of the carvings in the chapel meant. And they were actually stone representations of they were almost frozen sound. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They were actually frozen sound. They were carved representations of musical notes. And once I deciphered that, I was able to recreate them, as I say, using a signal generator, an amplifier, and a set of speakers. But what we found out about the chapel is something else is vitally important to understand, is that while we were in the chapel, we had a psychiatrist there, we had an acoustic therapist there, we had a musician there, we had all sorts of people in there, and a couple of mediums, who very good mediums, who had used in 1998, that originally discovered the portal, that while this tone was playing, the acoustic therapist went down into the crypt and he started toning. So you then had two musical sources inside the chapel, one in the crypt and one in the main body of the chapel. And while this was going on, a subtone kicked up. So the chapel was creating a tone on its own from the two that were actually generating. But the chapel was generating its own tone. It was a sort of a harmonic. Then we suddenly heard very faintly a fourth tone kicked up. So the chapel was then creating two additional tones to the tones that we were creating. And so we believe, I believe, that the chapel was specifically designed to enhance certain properties of sound. And I also believe now, we have now discovered the second part of what we believe the key actually is to open the portal properly. And we believe that the second part of the key is a coloured light, red light. Now, this was information that was given to me and was later substantiated that there is a source of red light in the chapel that only comes up twice a year when the sun rises in the east. And twice a year it will illuminate a light box which is in the east end of the chapel and shine red light into the chapel. Now, it's a complicated story, but and really it's not really related to the ancient code, but it was through this film, through making the film about the Roslin frequency, that I became acquainted with Phil and went on to make the film The Ancient Code. But, I mean, I don't really want to take up too much time talking about that, but because we're really talking about The Ancient Code.
Well, I think it's good to know because you've got so many visual images, and, of course, you've got these other films that people, if they were interested in following up with them as well, that's good for them to know about it. There is a sincere conveying through the film of empowering people to recognize that they are a key, that they have their own capabilities of being able to be decisive about their lives, to be able to open up and, as you mentioned earlier, deal with the old gods that they've worshipped. And when we're talking about that, it's basically belief systems, because that it's questioning, what are we going to evaluate? And there was a big question towards the very end of the film. Are we ready for the changes? Like you said, this is, gee whiz, here we've got all of this stuff happening for 2012. Are you really ready? Do you, you know, there's been so much built up about 2012, and it's an indication of a shift that's going to occur, and I don't know that it's necessarily going to be a melodramatic shift, you know, at midnight of 2012. Who knows? But there's a song that was there that I really liked. It said, "Tell me what you dream, and I'll tell you who you are." That was the music that was being played right at the beginning of that section of the film. And I thought, that is a fascinating way, using music, to bring that thought in to someone, because it's a good perspective. Tell me what you dream, I'll tell you who you are. Who put that music together? Do you know who put those lyrics together? Because it's very, there's a lot of wisdom in those lyrics.
I believe that was a guy called Mick Ashron, who was actually part of the film. I believe it was Mick who actually wrote the song, because I think the guy is a musician and songwriter, and he actually put this together. But I wonder, would it be okay if I actually spoke a little about 2012 and what the actual, the film is actually telling the people about?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, we know that 2012 has actually been prophesied by many people that something's going to happen then. The Egyptians talk about it, the Kabbalists talk about it, the Dogon tribe in Africa talk about it, many, many Native American groups talk about it. Even Edgar Casey prophesied a great change shortly after 2000, but it was the Mayans who actually, if you like, it was their calendar that the whole thing was hung on. And they see it as the end of a great cycle of events, and they say it began in 3114 BC, and it ends on the 21st of December 2012. Now, the consensus is for a great change. Now, one of the possibilities is that there's going to be a shift in the Earth's magnetic poles. Well, I can see that coming, because there's been a lot of things that have happened that signify something happening to the Earth's magnetic poles, but it's not going to be the end of humanity. However, what I think that the ancient code is telling us is what the ancient code actually is, and this is what people have got to understand. Now, the ancient code started right at the beginning of time. Now, I'm talking the Big Bang now. I'm talking right back at this tiny particle, the speck of dust-sized particle that was the universe at the start of the Big Bang. And when that exploded, the ancient code actually started there and then. That even the DNA that we comprise, that every living thing on this planet comprises, was actually programmed by the ancient code. It was set up by the ancient code. And I think what's going to happen in 2012 is that we are going to be reprogrammed, and the reprogramming of our DNA is going to start then. Because we've poisoned the planet to such an extent that eventually life is going to become very difficult for us to actually exist on this planet, and that we stopped evolving thousands of years ago, many thousands of years ago, because we didn't have to evolve anymore, because we'd evolved enough that we were at peace with the planet. The planet was at peace with us. We could live on the planet as it was, and our bodies were maximized and to live with the planet as it was. But now the planet is changing. The ancient code understands this, and I think the ancient code is going to change us to suit the planet. That we will find ourselves evolving in ways that we wouldn't have thought possible before. This is not going to be pleasant, but it's not going to be the end of the human race. And in some ways, it's going to be the making of the human race and the saving of the human race when this evolutionary process actually starts again. But the concept is quite remarkable, because We could even call the ancient code God, although it's nothing to do with any religion. And the ancient code is not a religious, it's not a cult, it's not a sect, it's not in any way related to religion. It's got nothing to do with religion. It's something more important, more fundamental to us than that. It's the very message that's in our own DNA. And perhaps this is when we realise that everything is indeed as one. Because at the beginning, when the Big Bang occurred, we were all part of the same singularity. And when that singularity exploded, we were still one, because what is in you, the particles that make up you, the particles that make up me, and the particles that make up all your listeners, were at one time in contact. They were part of a single unitary organism. And at the end of the ancient code, I think this is going to become very, very clear, that we are going to start functioning more as a single unit rather than a collection of individuals as we are now. And I think this comes across in the film as well.
Well, I will have to say there is some fascinating imagery. There are a lot of questions posed, which I think is always good, to be able to ask questions, to explore. And if nothing else, it could arouse the curiosity of any of you that have a love for history, really want to find out more about how did certain things originate, where did they come from. And more than that, again, be aware of the fact that as an individual, you have choices that you can make, and to take possession of that positioning of personal empowerment is a very good thing. The movie, again, is called The Ancient Code. My guest today is Brian Allen, who has participated in the film, and you will see him in the film giving his comments. Brian, the website is ancientcode.com, ancientcode.com.
Yes, it is.
Is there anything, excuse me?
Sorry, I was just going to say to your listeners that I would advise them to go and have a look at this website, ancientcode.com, because for my money, it's one of the most beautiful websites I've ever seen. It's well put together. It's well structured. The music, the visuals, the whole thing is absolutely beautiful. And I think it would repay your listeners to actually go and have a look at that website.
Well, I think that's a great suggestion. And Brian, do you have a website yourself that if people wanted to find out more about you and the work that you're involved with?
Yes. Well, I've got two websites. One is called, they're both obviously www. Now, the first one is p-e-g.co.uk. That's peg.co.uk. And the other one is brianjallen.com. Okay. So the first one is www.p-e-g.co.uk, and the other one is www.brianjallen.com, and that's allan.com. And those will sort of take the people to what I've done, where I've been. It'll give them a look at the books I've been involved in, the books I've written, and they'll just let them know that the sort of person I've been, the person I am, the investigations have taken place, that the stuff I've written about, and it'll just give them a better insight into what I do.
Well, Brian, I so appreciate your staying up late in Scotland to speak with us. Your time is evening, and I so appreciate it. The movie is Ancient Code, and you can go to ancientcode.com. Two websites for Brian. It's ppaul-e-g.co.uk. Or Brian, B-R-I-A-N, J like John, Allen, A-L-L-A-N.com. So you have those websites that you can investigate and check out. And again, many of the photographs, the different aspects of the film, I think are very, very nicely done, but it will cause you to question. Brian, thank you very much for being my guest today. I really appreciate it, and I wish you well in all of your endeavors.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me, and you take care.
I will, sir, and you enjoy your evening. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break in just a moment. I'll repeat those websites again, ancientcode.com, also p-e-g.co.uk, and then Brian J. Allen, ALLAN.com. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a call if you'd like to chat today. Telephone lines are open and available, and this is our worldwide telephone number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you, if you want to call in and talk with me, is your first name or initial, and then after that, sit back, relax, let me do what I do best, and I will share with you my perceptions. And then, of course, you have an opportunity to ask a question if you so desire. So again, here's the telephone number, 888-815-9756. There are so many fascinating pieces of material that come across my desk, and I'm going to be sharing a great deal of it with you. And I want to thank those of you who are sending me emails. And we have had, with our computer system, as just about everybody does, whenever there's an upgrade with Windows, it's amazing how it can muck up a system. And all kinds of new things pop up, and you go, what planet did that come in from? Well, it's all having to do with software changes. And so you have to go through a learning curve, an exploration curve, to figure out what it is that needs to be adapted or learned about. This is what life is all about, isn't it? We are not able to ever stay in a role of complacency. I think of the movie Fiddler on the Roof. And, of course, that movie is so popular, and the music in it is just awesome. But it's a story about a family in a particular period of time in Russia that had certain belief systems and certain attitudes and things that they really were immersed in. And guess what? Things changed. The world around them changed. Their children brought in new ideas, new concepts, were scattered to the wind, so to speak. And the one theme of so many of the songs is tradition, you know, tradition. Well, many times there has to be a change, and it will challenge tradition, and many times cause tradition to change its costume. And that's the way history works. You'll find history is often portrayed by individuals from whatever paradigms they're involved with themselves. There isn't a writer alive that doesn't color things with their perceptions, and those perceptions can change. So here we are in a world today that is just absolutely phenomenal on so many levels, discouraging on other levels, but that is a factor of life. And part of the agitation and experience that we go through creates opportunities for us if we're willing to step up to the challenge of change and be willing to learn, be willing to look at what we want, be willing to look at what we don't want, be willing to challenge, be willing to let go of what no longer serves us. It's not easy to do. It is something that always is going to bring with it stress, unless you've evolved already through a stressful road and you said, this is a piece of cake, I'm ready for this, and kaboom, there you are. But it is a patterning in life. I cannot, when I read any bit of history, I was reading about Voltaire last night, I was reading about Einstein. You can read about all kinds of people that historically were famous, and you realize they walked the same kind of a path. It's nothing new. And it's not something to fear. One of the things that bothers me is when people will use fear as a weapon, and they pull out this gigantic sword of fear and say, look how I can cut this, cut that, destroy this, destroy that. Well, sometimes in life, certain things have to be obliterated to be able to move on to something new. The reality is when you use a sword of fear, remember, it has a couple of edges to it, and it can cut positively and it can cut negatively. But it's up to us as to whether or not we are going to wield that sword. And if we're going to use our fears to leverage us to move forward, or if we're going to allow the sword of fear to cut up our lives so that we have nothing but fear in our environment. So I know with all of the changes that are going on in society, with all of the momentums politically, there's all kinds of things going on around the world. Be aware, it is your mind. It is your attitudes. It is your determination and perseverance that can make a difference in this world. It's going to make this world a better place. And you start right where you are. Don't depend on anybody else to do it. Start with yourself. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you would like to chat. I'd be delighted to even help you with a dream interpretation, whatever you'd like to talk about. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number. Well, tomorrow we've got a delightful guest, Timothy Glass. He called me shortly before the show started, confirming our interview tomorrow. If you are a dog lover, you are absolutely going to adore his publication, Just This Side of Heaven. My husband and I are dog parents, and we just absolutely love our fur persons. We have two Scotties, for those of you who are regular listeners, you know that, Kenzie and Victor, and they're very, very important to us. We've had a number of dogs through the years, and they each bring their own special gifts. Well, Timothy is going to be talking tomorrow. It's what this book is all about. It's about a very special beagle named Penny that came as part of a special package, and you'll have to tune in to find out what that package is. Next week, we are going to be talking with some wonderful people and on subjects, I believe, that you will find very interesting. On Monday, we'll be talking about money and manifesting with Diane Garris, and then we're going to be talking about a children's book series. Very interesting. We'll be talking about the Nooney of Nooneyvac and then Lewis the Lemur and Vultures in the Cemetery. Yes. William Anderson is going to be with us on Wednesday, the Anderson Method of Dealing with Life and Its Challenges. He will be our guest. Then, and I know we've got a caller, but I want to let you know about my other guest, Audacious Aging. Oh, is this a cool book? I love it. Stephanie Marone. Hey, if you're around today and you're around tomorrow, you're aging. This is a good thing to know about. And then the A to Z food guide regarding food additives, allergies, all kinds of things, Deanna Munich, and then The Secret Life of Genius with John Chambers is coming up. Well, that's what the lineup is going to be next week. Meanwhile, let's go to our next caller, or our first caller, excuse me, for the day. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, Donna, it's Rebecca, and I'm calling from the Bay Area. I've talked to you before.
Hi, Rebecca. How's the weather at the Bay? Fog all gone?
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, it is so beautiful up here in the Pacific Northwest. I think we huffed and puffed enough to get rid of some of the clouds. It is great. I love this time of the year. Okay, Rebecca, first thing that is coming into my mind is a lot of paperwork. There is a image of you that I'm holding in my mind where you are standing very still and your hands are on your hips and you are observing. You are looking at everything that's around you and you're evaluating. You're thinking, what do I want to give my attention to? I've got this window of time where I'm going to be able to take care of what I'd call the penny ante stuff, and I need to do it, and I need to use my time efficiently. Well, I'd like to encourage you, if you can get a buddy in on this to help you, treat him to a Southern Fried Chicken dinner or something, and if you have a buddy with you, it's going to go a lot faster. You'll get it done a lot more quickly. This is going to be something that will be perfect timing because your schedule, I would say, starting in October, is really going to be intense. So whatever you need to do to focus on to take care of the small stuff, you're right. You need to evaluate it, appraise the situation, set your time frames, and go for it. You won't regret it at all. Also, a trip may be coming up, and I'm using may because I think you are going to ask yourself, can this be postponed for a while because I'm looking at where I want my money to go. Do I want to spend the money on this trip, or do I want to shift and put the money away and then make it later? I would say that's entirely your choice. It's not the wrong choice, no matter which way you go. It is the choice of preference that makes you feel like you are doing the right thing for yourself that is most important. And if you just keep that in mind, don't worry about anybody else's opinion or anybody else's demands or expectations. Do what you think you need to do for yourself, and the rest of it will fall into place. By the way, you do need to watch when you're working outside, whether it's sweeping or it's working in a garden. I am looking at some debris entering your eye. So if you're going to be actively involved working outdoors, you might want to have something like safety goggles on or some kind of a sunglass that is going to protect the eye. So if debris does fly up, it's not going to go into the eye itself. And I'm seeing this with the left eye. So it doesn't have to happen. Just be thoughtful. What would you like to ask me, Rebecca?
Well, you totally hit the nail on the head. I have a lot of changes coming up. I'm looking for a job and also looking to move. And right now I'm going through everything and just getting a clean start of getting rid of stuff and old paperwork. Do you, like, have a timeline for when I might be starting a job and when, you know, I'll be moving? It's, you know, kind of tentative.
Well, I'm getting the numbers 4 to 7. So I don't know if it's 4 to 7 weeks or 4 to 7 months or April to July of next year.
Okay.
When you're asking me about the job, I'm inclined to think it's going to be a little bit of time. And I would say when I'm saying that, it's because what I think that you're going to want in a positioning, that is going to be a search process that is going to fall into place, but it's not going to fit a timeline that you have. The move will complement the timeline.
Okay.
So I think it will dovetail with a job positioning because you're not going to want a long commute.
And right, exactly.
Being in the Bay Area, you know, sometimes you can be 15 minutes supposedly from a job and it'll take you 2.5 hours to get there just because of traffic. Depending on what side of the bridge you're on. So I think that that is really what is the patterning that will evolve here. And I honestly don't have an exact time frame. I got the numbers 4 to 7. I will say this. I do think there's going to be an opportunity, if you so desire, to have what I would call a temp job that is going to allow you to generate income, but at the same time you'll be exploring and you're going to then be able to find what you really want. What kind of job are you looking for?
Well, you know, I'm changing fields again. I want to go back into executive administration work. It seems to be that that's a lot more available in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are opportunities out there for that. And I have been applying for some things. But when, you know, applying for jobs and then looking to move and things at the same time, it's pretty daunting.
Well, I wouldn't worry about the moving. I really wouldn't. I think what you're doing is the right thing to do in the way of preparation. Don't misunderstand my words.
Mm-hmm.
Going about assessing what needs to be done, that's great. But I'm looking at October, you're just going a mile a minute. So something is evolving. So all of this preparation that you're doing is the right thing to do.
Okay. I'll give myself more time. Then I gave my notice and I'm supposed to move next weekend. And it just seems like it's too soon.
Mm-hmm. I would just hold off and see if you can talk with the person that is the manager there and say, can we work out some kind of an arrangement in as much as I'm not sure I may have a job positioning that's going to require that I move, and I'm sort of up in the air with this. Can you work with me on this? I believe they will.
Yeah, I was just moving because rent is so expensive where I'm living. But it's kind of hard to figure out where you want to move if you don't know where your job's going to be. So.
Well, not only that, but think about something. If you move now, your cost is going to be exorbitant. So you just don't need that at this time.
Whoop, right.
I got to take a break, hon.
Thanks so much, hon. Okay,
oh,
bye.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. This is Donna. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Wow, there are so many delicious fresh vegetables this time of the year, and I don't know about you, but we have neighbors that have zucchini, and I remember one year a neighbor of ours, they not only had zucchini, they had zucchini that had zucchini that had zucchini. So they were trying to give away as much of it as they could, and I wish I'd had this recipe for zucchini chips. I like it broiled myself. I love fresh summer squash, you know, broiled underneath the broiler, a little bit of salt and pepper and maybe some butter and olive oil. It's just great. Well, you can have crispy zucchini chips. Yes. Now, zucchini has a lot of moisture in it. So what you have to do, and this is a real easy concept, What you do is clean and dry a couple of zucchinis, and you slice them into very thin coin shapes. And then if you have a deep frying pan or deep fryer, you have about a quarter of an inch of vegetable oil or olive oil over medium-high heat. And once that oil is hot, I prefer olive oil or maybe even a peanut oil to just standard vegetable oil. But you add your zucchini in batches if necessary and cook them until they're lightly brown. Just doesn't take long at all, 2 or 3 minutes. Then you put them on paper towels to drain off the excess oil, and then you just salt them lightly. And once they're cool, they're crispy and you can munch on them. Now, if you like them spicy, and again, this is so easy. This is not a big brainer thing. And you know what? The kids can like it, too. Now, if you like them really spicy, you can add hot pepper flakes to the oil while it's hot and while the zucchini is cooking. And if you like a little garlic, then add just a light sprinkle of light, mind you, of garlic powder to the zucchini after you've cooked it, right when it's hot. When it comes out, it's draining on the paper towels, just add a little bit maybe of, if you wanted to use a garlic salt. Make it light. Don't overdo on the garlic seasoning, otherwise people will never talk to you again. But there's so many different things that you could do that will make this flavorful, and it's not big in calories. Most of the oil is not going to be absorbed by the zucchini, so it's really, really great. Also, you can do it another way. If you say, Donna, I'm on this low-fat program, I really don't want to add any more excess calories than necessary, well, instead of frying your squash or your zucchini, you just spritz them with some cooking spray and bake them in a 425-degree oven for about 8 to 10 minutes. And you flip them once because they're going to get the moisture in there is going to come out. You flip them once, and then they're going to be nice and crisp. But remember, you need to slice them thinly. So however you want to do it, if you want to do it with hot oil, if you want to do it in the oven, whatever is your pleasure, you can even grill them and get this kind of an effect. But it's something that's light, it's easy, it's so tasty. And you know, when it's hot, you don't want real heavy foods typically. They just don't sit well. It's too hot, you want something light. This is great. And try it with some other vegetables too. You don't know, it might just really make it for you. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Now, I had something else that I wanted to share with you is about dealing with savings at supermarkets. If you're like me, sometimes there are particular things. I'm not a real big coupon person. I know some people who really are. But there's a lot of foods that I watch for certain specials, especially meats and chicken, and my dogs absolutely love chicken as we do. Well, you need to learn how to really pay attention to the savings in the supermarket circulars. If you want to uncover the real brand name bargains, you need to find the listed price. It may not be such a bargain if it's no different than the regular cost. Every ad that's paid for by a manufacturer, the mere mention of it in a circular, has been shown to boost a product sales by 500%. Now, this comes from a consumer analyst, Phil Limpert. He's the founder of SupermarketGuru.com, SupermarketGuru.com. So you might want to double-check to make sure that the item that's on sale actually is cheaper than the usual price. And read the fine print. You know, sometimes we'll just see a picture and we think, ooh, that's going to be the real bargain. Well, many times in these items that are shipped out, to picture one item, then a whole product line, when a whole product line is on sale. So if you want to really snag your bargains, you need to read the small print that accompanies the images. Also, you can check out on the web if you have time to do that. You can get your circulars in the Sunday papers, but supermarkets are posting their deals online, and you can sign up with them. Sign up with your favorite grocers, and you can compare who's got what. And that is really an efficient way. And actually, supermarkets run twice as many sales as you'll see advertised in the flyer, and I found that to be true. So those are just a couple of tips for you. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Tomorrow it is the Beagles that will reign through the day, and you can hear all about these delightful creatures, especially one called Penny. Yes, the other side of heaven. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a magnificent day wherever you are, a magnificent evening, and know that you do make a difference. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com, Station 1, the Donna Sebo Show. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.